Thanks for calling. Down to Brass Tacks. Hello.
Good morning.
Yes, good morning.
Miss Silas?
Yes.
Blessed be my brother.
Why are you crying?
Well, I am calling you from my hospital bed. I'm trying my best to remain as composed as I can be.
Mm-hmm.
I have been diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer. And it is unlikely that I will survive to call this program again.
Because of your current state, it is difficult for me to identify you as a regular caller. Who are you?
Do you mean, what do you mean by...
As a caller, you're the one who...
I usually begin all of my calls by saying, blessed be my brother.
Oh my goodness. Rashid?
Yes, it is, baby.
From down in Westbury Road?
Correct.
Well, you really...
I do what I imagine.
You really shock a lot of us this morning. I'm sorry to hear this.
I appreciate your sentiment. But the call-in program has become like a family unto me. And I thought it only prudent to make the effort to make this call. But I have to tell you, right now I feel like my own body has become my own house of exile. And that's putting it mildly.
Hmm.
I expect that I wouldn't be on this plane of existence in the next 90 days.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be very fortunate.
Okay.
If I can survive up to 7 months, because the published data suggests that as long as it reached stage 4, and it has already begun to cross from my left lung, to my liver, which is the nearest other organ next to it.
Okay.
And that in itself has its almost irreversible consequences. So I wanted to seize this moment. Now that I'm in not much pain, because I've just had some painkillers. So, well, I don't have to say bid my calling family farewell. But to let them know that I appreciate the times when they've gathered me under the boughs of their love. And there are many of them that I can't call or to call by name, but I deeply appreciate it.
Okay. Can I ask you a couple of questions? First of all,
I will try to respond.
Okay.
As I can.
Okay. How long has this battle been going on?
Well, I've been in hospital since the 3rd of December.
Since the 3rd of December?
Yeah.
Okay. And, I mean, you have made quite a significant contribution to this call-in program. And first of all, it is the way that you express yourself, the language, your use of the language, has always been impeccable, as far as I'm concerned. But more than that, you have been driven to highlight what you've seen as challenges within the society. Your own background is significant because you have had a long association with the literary arts. So tell us a little bit about that.
Well, it is interesting that you should cite my involvement in literary arts, because that really began through an avenue of the Community Development Department. When NIFCA first came up, I think it was 1973, and there was an officer named Gordon Warden who thought that he came to a lot of the community centers and tried to persuade people to become involved, and that's how he became involved. But the credit with regards to, I mean, one must admit, even modestly, that I do enjoy some facility with language. And that, the credit for that and the accolade really belong to Mr. Howard, the late Mr. Howard Wharton, who taught at both Leslie Hall and Combermere. And I owe his spirit an eternal credit for how he was able to impart not only the use of language to me, but the ability to bring language alive, because he he hated the use of the cliche, and he celebrated the use of the metaphor. And that has dominated my expression of language, and like some people say, my ability to bring it alive.
Yes.
But one of the reasons too why I made this call is because I know a lot of people have been worried. A lot of people have been reaching out to me, and they have been asking after me. And the fact that my inevitable demise will be a significant loss to the program, and just to think that alone is an invaluable accolade to me. And it brings me a sense of having contributed, a sense of having given to myself, to my nation.
Where are you spiritually now?
Spiritually, I'm in a place of great comfort and relaxation. And I'll say how I achieve that, to have a place of residence in an atmosphere of comfort. I must admit to you, as anyone else would be, that I was consumed at first when I learned about my condition. I was consumed by an element of fear. But what I did is that I went on the internet and I investigated as much as I could about my own circumstance. And what I have discovered is that nothing dispels fear and displaces it permanently like the acquisition of knowledge. And that is the pathway that I have chosen, to the point that I have been able to follow every step of my treatment so far. And all the treatment I've received has paralleled the published data. And in this circumstance, I am my own agency of destruction, because I have smoked for a number of years. Okay. And maybe I should seize this moment to urge young people that if there are smokers now, to do their best to cease and desist from the practice. Because it is said that if you use cigarettes the way the manufacturer intends, it will kill you eventually. And so I am not in a process of blaming anybody. I am in a good place spiritually. There are a lot of people that I strongly believe that there's a meaningful existence, because there must be an existence outside the body. Things like imagination and thought cannot be confined by the physical space called the body. And there are people like Earl Warner, Richard Springer, and a host of others that I really am looking forward to meeting and interacting with on the other side. And I am sure that quite a few of them will be there to help me cross the Rubicon in as easy and as simple a way as possible. So I have already conditioned myself to walk towards the light. You will recall that that's one of the ways that Jesus described himself, the way, the truth, and the light. So for those who have read certain books, as I have, it is a lot easier being prepared for the process and for the transition.
Your greatest achievement so far?
To be able to interact with some other patients who have their own anxiety. And fortunately, and I do consider it an immense fortune, I've been able to interact with quite a few medical students here from the University of West Indies. And some of them find some difficulty in understanding how I could be in such a psychological place considering my own circumstance. And some of them have been examining me, what have you. And I told them it is a privilege to play a part in their future medical development. So I don't feel like a guinea pig. I feel honored that some of these students will go on, who knows, in 20 years from now, to save lives, even maybe lives who suffer the same fate that I do now.
Rashid, you have spend a lot of time looking at the society and where it is going. In that context, therefore, what's your wish for Barbados?
It is difficult to respond to that question without giving it some political tenor. And I feel convinced that the current Prime Minister, Ms. Mia Amor-Motley, I think she's determined to leave a legacy behind. And she's determined to build on the legacy in helping poor people that her grandfather would have established in this city. And that in itself inspires me. But now, it may seem like an aside, but let me go on another technical of concern. I am very concerned that the Queen Elizabeth Hospital really can use all the help it can get. It is amazing the things that they have been short of, things like commodes and what have you. And if I were in a financial enough position, I would dedicate a great percentage of my resources to assist in the hospital. These people work very hard. Another thing I'd like to mention, on the graveyard shift at the hospital, especially on my ward, B7, I can speak with some authority on that experience. There are a maximum of three to four people. Very seldom, but 3 to 4 people. And they don't have access to dinner. So I am wondering if some of the restaurants and the fast food places who obviously have an excess and would have this at night, if they can put together a snack for the nurses. And it does not only have to be confined to Ward B7, for nurses generally who work the graveyard shift, because I am absolutely certain that that will be definitely appreciated. I have seen people here go above and beyond. I have seen people here work double shifts without knowing that they will have to do it. I mean, sometimes I feel as though they have urged me and let me know I'm not a burden on them, but it is difficult not to think that way, you know, because they are human too. And I have received human service, and I've seen an aspect of humanity that has touched me to the core. And on that note, let me say too that I had the former West Indies selector, Courtney Brown, in a bed next to me when he first came in after that horrific accident. And he has been a remarkable inspiration to me, because though his conversation wasn't meant for my ears, and he and I and his family have discussed this so I can repeat it, he was so concerned about the victim of that accident's family. And he was consumed with the way to reach out and to let them know that, you know, it was remarkable that he mourned the lost wisdom. And this is a man that was hit in traction, in steel traction, that could hardly move. And his concern was for the family of the victims of the accident.
Our concern is also for you, and in the what you see as the limited time that you have available. You've made your contribution as best as you could. So, from you, how can we help you in the time that is left?
I think that having the program as an avenue to reach out and share my views and my thoughts in the interest of my own country has been invaluable to me. And what I would want, the way that the call-in program and the country can help me now in this moment of presumed darkness is for Bajans, not only in this year of 2020 gathering, but to try to find some personal expression for loving Barbados. The way that Barbadians litter this country is an immense pain to me. It is almost as though the national anthem means nothing to them. I don't know if it's because in the lyrics of the national anthem, it does not mention the name Barbados, nor does it mention the people. And I won a gold award at NIFCA in a point for mentioning that circumstance alone. But I'd like to see Bajans develop a love and a pride for this little country. It is all we have. It can be destroyed tomorrow in some climatic event. And I'd like to see us really try and take care of it. The calling program and the calling program family.
Do you remember that poem now?
It's not in my immediate recall to say that I can recite it.
Understood.
On the radio.
Understood. Ah, finally, and where can we find you in the Queen Elizabeth Hospital?
I am on Ward B7 in B10. And let me seize the moment. It would be remiss of me not to reach out to Dennis Johnson. He has been a pillar of strength to so many people and in so many ways that I know he does not realize it. There's a unique, humane touch to the man that rakes you to the core and makes you question your own humanity. And I think it is based on his personal experience. He's a remarkable human being. And then the time comes that he also has to make his transition and to cross the Rubicon. I hope I'll be privileged among the gathering that is there to welcome him over. A remarkable human that has made a significant impression on my life.
No, Rashid.
You were saying. I've also enjoyed my interaction with Peter Wickham, albeit that he's not a Commemorian, as well as Lisa Gale. And I think that if they pay a lot more attention to the way you, the legendary Larry King, and Mr. Johnson handle callers and try to get into the essence of what a caller is feeling as it speaks to them, I think we'll order well for their development not only as comment as call-in program host, but as social commentators generally.
Well, I want to say to you, Rashid Foster, that when we are dealing with broadcasting, we are always encouraged to focus on the element of surprise. As broadcasters, we are supposed to know what is coming, but you are the ones who are supposed to be surprised. This morning, you have turned the tables on me, and I want to tell you this has been a most touching and difficult call. Of all the calls that I have had on this program, this one has been my most difficult. I have people here who are also on the WhatsApp chat who are sharing this experience with us, and I'm sure there are many listeners who are going through this with a great degree of difficulty. But I want to say to you that in the time that you have, we wish you peace, we wish you comfort, we wish you well.
I really appreciate that. I know it doesn't come from you alone. I know you speak on behalf of the entire calling family. And the sentiment
really
impresses me. Thank you.
Thank you.